Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
A lot of people my age like to say, it's not like I'm just for anything goes. I'm against abortion, so I'm pro-life. Marriage is different. Well, the reason they're able to say that today is that 40 years ago, when the pro-life movement came face-to-face with Roe v. Wade, they didn't give up.
The degree to which society can trump God and tell him that he has to shut up about his law makes it more and more difficult for the church then to proclaim a word of mercy and forgiveness.
They pull a bait and switch on people, bring them in the door thinking they're going into a non-denom evangelical church when in fact they're in a Lutheran church. The problem with bait and switch is there's usually a lot of bait and no switch.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer, and I love Issues Etc.
The trick with this, of course, is at every election cycle, where however it goes back and forth between the two parties, is to understand why and then what it means. Last night was, well, if the numbers are any indication, and they appear to be pretty rock solid numbers, kind of an historic midterm election result. A sitting president, a pretty sound referendum on his policies. What policies specifically? Hard to tell. That's where you got to tease out the what does this mean of the kind of numbers that we experienced yesterday in the midterm elections. What do they mean? Many people, the pundits, have been telling us that the social issues like marriage, life, didn't play much of a part in the Republican tsunami, as they're calling it. And the reason, part of the reason that the Republicans were able to win is because they ran toward the center and they ran away from issues like same-sex marriage. And if they keep doing it, maybe they'll keep winning. Is that true? And even if it is true, is that a good idea? We're going to be talking about the midterm elections and same-sex marriage a little bit later, the midterm elections and pro-life issues. Brian Brown will join us for the first 15 minutes. Carol Tobias of National Right to Life after that. Then Dr. Cameron McKenzie will be our guest. We'll get into the subject of Bible translations. Kim Riddlebarger will talk about the biblical basis for the doctrine of the Trinity, and we'll round everything off on this Wednesday afternoon talking with Terry Mattingly. Some important questions for religion polling. He's come up with three, and not surprisingly, religious polling have been taking his advice. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, November the 5th. Thanks for tuning us in. Join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @IssuesETC, or our beloved listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line open 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the midterm elections and same-sex marriage, Brian Brown, a regular guest and president of the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
The pundits were telling us before and afterward today that social issues really played very little part in the Republican victories. What's your response to that?
Well, it's verifiably, demonstrably, and patently false. Look, it's very simple to figure this out. Look at the races where Republicans endorsed same-sex marriage. There were three races, one Senate race, Monica Webby in Oregon, and two House races. And then look at how candidates did that were Republican that stood up and were champions of traditional marriage. Tom Tillis in North Carolina, Tom Cotton in Arkansas, Pat Roberts and also of Kansas, and also the governor of Kansas, Sam Brownback, who said the judges that he was going to fight because the Kansas Constitution was not going to be usurped by federal judges. And when you look at it, it's pretty simple. The three Republicans who were in competitive races who endorsed same-sex marriage, we were very active in those races. Two lost the election. The third, Carl DeMaio, we don't know. It's too close to call. But given that that district in San Diego is a plus-two Republican district, and we had a Republican wave. Why was the Republican who supported same-sex marriage, why do we not know if he won? Even the fact that it's so close there tells you that supporting same-sex marriage is not a winning issue. On the other side, Tom Tillis not only has stood up to defend marriage, he's actually intervened as a member of the legislature. He had the legislature intervene to stop the judicial imposition of same-sex marriage in North Carolina. He was very open about it in the debate. He's been very strong on the issue. And he comes up and wins by a lot larger margin than anyone predicted. We put over $200,000 in both that race and in the Tom Cotton race. And again, Tom Cotton won by a much larger margin. So anyone that wants to just look at the numbers and are not caught up in what is the constant Beltway consultant class attempt to throw social conservatives under the bus, as it were, you can look at the numbers to see that marriage had a profound effect, and that's just looking at it with a hard eye. If you look at it just from the perspective of voters' unease and discomfort with President Obama's policies, unease and discomfort with the direction the country is headed, and most importantly, voters' unease and discomfort in the judiciary continuing to act as legislators and not as judges. Those are less difficult to quantify, but I think are very, very clear. So you couldn't be more wrong to say that marriage didn't have an impact in the election. It had a big impact. Every single one of the races we were involved in at a top-tier level, we won. And the only race that's questionable is this call-to-mile race out in San Diego.
Was it, just given what has been happening over the last 2 years in terms of the advocacy for same-sex marriage, was it possible for someone running at a national level to avoid or run away from the issue?
Well, it is true that a number of Republicans tried not to talk about it, and that, unfortunately, really needs to be laid to bear at the feet of a Republican consultant class that's caught up in the bubble of Washington, D.C., and thinks that Republicans will win elections only talking about economic matters. Now, we have another way of testing this idea. Just look at what happened in the last election, where billions of dollars were spent on our side in a presidential race in which the candidate rarely spoke about social issues. We lost overwhelmingly. But even after losing, only talking about fiscal issues, the Republican consultant class figured out some way to blame social issues, even though they didn't spend really any money at all in running on social issues. So candidates did try this, and because there was a wave, some candidates who didn't speak as forcefully on marriage still ended up winning. But again, the most forceful candidates, the ones that stood up, staked a position, stood strong, even those saying we are not going to have our state constitutional amendment overturned by federal judges and we're going to stand against that and fight this all the way up, like Governor Brownback, won in ways that no one had predicted. Governor Brownback's race was supposed to be a very close race. Greg Orman was supposed to have a shot at winning. And in all of these places, the champions of marriage did much better than folks had predicted. And again, it's not hard to sort of test this. All you need to do is look at the polling in these races and look at when ads and mailers went out that supported traditional marriage, and look at the uptick in support for folks like Tom Tillis, for Tom Cotton, for Governor Brownback, and others.
How do you advise candidates to make the case for natural marriage?
Well, I think it's, number one, it's very important that candidates have a good grasp of the public policy, the reasons why marriage is the union of a man and a woman is uplifted in law and culture. And once they do that, then standing firm on the constitutional reasons why, for example, it's just 100% wrong to somehow claim that the 14th Amendment, passed in 1868, that somehow that created same-sex marriage, Once you start arguing things like this, as proponents of redefining marriage have done, you're basically willing to rewrite the Constitution in any way you see fit. So this is a key issue on standing up for the truth of marriage, that it's in the best interest of children and society. But it's also an issue where candidates, if they believe in the Constitution, they have an obligation to stand up and defend it. And defending the Constitution means being willing to speak up when rogue judges decide that they know better than the voters and want to claim such silly things as somehow in 1868 our country passed same-sex marriage with passage of the 14th Amendment. It's just no one knew it up until a few days ago. Candidates need to be willing to know, to put the time in to know the history, know what the arguments the other side are making, and then be willing to forcefully make a case about the truth of marriage. And in no way in doing that are we disparaging or attacking anyone. And they need to be refused to be silenced when the other side, which will happen, casts the hate and bigot terms at their feet. It is not hateful. It is not bigoted to stand for marriage. And the American people don't think that it is. So they need to get over this sort of false fear that's really been inculcated by those on the other side of standing up for the issue because you may be called a few names. Well, that's politics. This is America today. We're a divided country, and some people are willing to say that you're a bigot simply for standing for marriage. The real bigotry is the fact that we're seeing churches and pastors fined and marginalized. We're seeing magistrates in North Carolina, judges have to resign their positions or else be forced to be involved in same-sex union ceremonies. We're seeing adoption agencies shut down because they're religious and can't place children with same-sex couples. We're seeing an attack on basic civil rights, but it's coming from those who wish to impose same-sex marriage, and candidates need to be familiar with this reality and be willing to stand up and defend the truth and the effects, the consequences of redefining marriage.
Finally then, Brian, the Senate obviously changed hands. Do you expect Republican senators to fight against a possible pro-same-sex marriage appointee for the Supreme Court?
I expect them to, and I think that folks that believe in the truth about marriage need to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that they do. There's always a tendency when folks get into power to take the path of least resistance. I shouldn't say there's always a tendency, but especially with Republicans, we've seen this tendency. Folks on the other side don't do that. They fight very hard for their candidates and beliefs. And we need to make sure that these Republicans that are elected are willing to do the same, because they were elected for a reason. They were elected because of ideas. This is not simply about picking a different party label. This is about the fact that the country is disillusioned and upset with the direction that we're on, and with the ideas being put forward by the Democrat Party, and chose to elect and support very different ideas. And the country can turn again if Republicans aren't willing to stand on principle and do what's right.
Brian Brown is president of the National Organization for Marriage, based in Washington, D.C. You will find a link to the National Organization for Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, keep up the good work, and thank you very much for your time.
God bless you. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Carol Tobias talking about the midterm election results and the pro-life issues. She is president of National Right to Life. She'll be with us right on the other side of the break. You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online, November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org. Shop online, cph.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.